Yeah, it says the Rosh Hashiva is recording.
Oh, it says recording. Okay, great. Thank you very much. Okay. The Shiur will be devoted again to primarily an exploration of Rav Soloveitchik's thinking, but I will present a Hakdama, a kind of preamble, and then we'll focus on his examination of the Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Zarah in the first parak that I heard from him a number of times on different occasions. First, I'm going to ask a question that my father, Shalom, was very concerned with. My father asked a fundamental question. The Torah begins in this week's parasha, "Vayomer Hashem el Avram, lech lecha mi'artzecha, u'mimoladetecha, u'mibeis avicha el aretz asher areka, v'esecha legoy gadol, v'avarechecha v'agadlo shemecha." Here we have a charge given to Avram to leave his birthplace, and Hashem promises him all kinds of fantabulous promises. And the question is, why? Why was Avram chosen for this particular role? And what's chus? The Torah doesn't say a word. Suddenly he appears on the scene, he emerges. Now we know in the Torah Shabbat Peh that we're going to study this evening, the Rambam in Perek Aleph Hilchos Avodah Zarah, the Rambam put together an entire tapestry of the background of Avram Avinu, a tapestry based on Midrashim and based on Divrei Chazal. The Rambam is just absolutely fantastic. But it's all Torah Shebaal Peh. There's nothing in the text of the Torah itself, nothing in Torah Shebichsav, that indicates any of this. So the question is, why did the Torah, my father, Shalom, asked, should have presented some sort of background, at least a bit, about why Avraham Avinu was so unique? What did he do in order to deserve being the recipient of all of these wonderful promises? For example, my father said that with reference to Noach in last week's parasha, the Torah tells us about a Noach before Hashem speaks to him. Namely, the Torah describes the Noach Matzochein Ben Hashem at the end of Parshas Bereishis, or the beginning of Noach. Noach is tzaddik tamim hoya b'darosav, describes the righteousness of Noach, Esel Elokim, Esalach Noach, and only afterwards the Torah says, Vayomer Elokim to Noach. Then we have a conversation between Hashem and Noach, a dialogue between Hashem and Noach. And yet, with reference to Avraham Avinu, not a word. Suddenly, in Medias Res, we open up Lech Lecha, Vayomer Hashem and Avraham, Lech Lecha. How does one explain that? No background, no context. We don't know whom he is, where he came from. Yes, it's mentioned at the end of Parshas Noach. Terach, his father, and Avram decide to leave their birthplace and to go to Eretz Canaan. So my father, Shalom, understood, and I heard this from my Rabbeim as well, that Avram Avinu was chosen even before Avram Avinu came to Hakara of his creator. Hashem apparently gives individuals sometimes an incredible neshama, gives them tremendous talents, tremendous koiches, and of course, as a result of those intellectual and emotional koiches of Avraham Avinu, utilize them in order to come to a recognition of Hashem. And he was Moser Nefesh, v'yichad Hashem, and he was able to weather all the nisyonos, all the 10 nisyonos that he was subjected to. So even before Hashem speaks to him, already Avraham Avinu, with his absolutely wondrous intellectual acuity, and without any tzivui of Hashem is barach, utilizes the natural kochos that he's blessed with. But who gave him that seichel? The answer is Hashem gave him that seichel. Because Hashem was the one who chose Avraham Avinu and gave him these kochot hanefesh, gave him this great neshama, even before he came to a recognition of Hashem. And that's why the Torah begins in Lech Lecha, Vayomer Hashem al Avram Lech Lecha. Even before the Torah tells us about all the things that he did, because his chosenness came before all the actions that he did. And a bit of a riot to this, my father, Avraham Shalom, thought, was from, we say every morning in the davening, Atohu Hashem Elokim Asher Bachar Tabi Avram. which indicates that Hashem is the one who chose Avram, v'hotseisom Ur Kasdim, and then he was taken out of Ur Kasdim, and then he's coming to Eretz Yisrael. Notice, it's not that Avram was the one who made the Bechira. Hashem chose Avram, took him out of Ur Kasdim, and we have a similar proof from a pasuk in Yeshua, Perek of Dalet, Sukkim, Beis, and Gimel, which is found in the Haggadah that we say in the Leil HaSeder. There we say, Be'ever Hanah, Yoshua, Vasecha, Me'olam. It tells us who lived in the other side. Terach, Abi Avram, Abi Nochar, Bayabdu Elohim Achirim. They worship idolatry. They were idolaters. Vo'ekach es Abichem es Avram, Be'ever Hanah. It says that Hashem took Avram Avinu. And those, it doesn't mention anything before Avram Avinu left his birthplace. Everything began when Hashem took Avram without any reason. He chose Avram. So we don't know why, but the distinction between Avram and Noach is very clear. Noach, the Torah provides us with the background. V'noach matzachei bein Hashem. Noach was a tzaddik. And then v'yomer Hashem al Noach. However, with reference to Avram Avinu, we don't see any of that. Hashem gave Avram this great neshama and tremendous intellectual kochos, and only afterwards Avram Avinu uses it in order to come to a hakara, to come to a recognition of the Bo'i Olam. And he used it, as we'll see momentarily in the Rambam, to be mekarev thousands and tens of thousands. So now we're going to start by taking a look at the Rambam in Perek Beis, Hilchos Avodah Zarah. It's a very striking Rambam. It's very rare that the Rambam, Perek Aleph, rather, Hilchos Avodah Zarah, I'm sorry, very striking and very rare for the Rambam to go and collect Midrashim and now put these Midrashim in the Mishnah Torah, in Torah Sheba'al Peh. It's almost non-existent in the entire corpus of Mishnah Torah, the Rambam, but here he does it. So in the beginning, I'll just perhaps quickly review the first halacha. The Rambam says, based on the Pasuk in Chumash, if you remember, with reference to Enosh, the Pasuk says, Oz huchal likro b'shem Hashem. We just read that recently. The question is, how do you translate that Pasuk? Oz huchal likro b'shem Hashem. The word huchal could either mean to begin, or the word huchal can mean lashon chulin, and the Rambam interprets it lashon chulin, that people made an egregious error, and among them was Enosh himself. What was the nature of the error? They contended that since Hashem created all these astral bodies, constellation and stars and all types of heavenly forces to direct traffic, and clearly they are shamashim, they are a means to an end, and they themselves serve Hashem Yisbarach, they have functions. So clearly Hashem wants us to be mechabed, to honor those heavenly forces, just like a king or a prime minister wants us to honor all of his associates, all of his ministers. So what happened was they began to build all types of temples, but the temples were built not for Hashem himself, but rather for all of these heavenly bodies. And they began to offer up sacrifices till they actually lost sight of the trees from the forest. They forgot that the original, the Koach Rishon, Hashem Yisbarach, he is the one who is the epicenter of everything. And all the others are simply ministering to Hashem. That was completely forgotten. And as a result, the Rambam goes on in Halacha Beis and tells us there were Nevi'ei Sheker, even false prophets, that came along and said, Hashem told us to do this and do that and worship this star and worship this constellation and worship this astral body and on and on. And now, essentially, the entire world, as a result, became paganistic. The entire world becomes full of idolatry, full of idolatrous rites. And it's amazing how this emerged over an extended period of time. And the Rambam, at the end of Halacha Beis, on the second page here in front of you, the Rambam says literally, in the second wide line, V'nishtakach Hashem ha'nichbad v'anora b'pi kol ha'ikum. Literally, they forgot about the existence of God. Velohi kiru, no one recognized the idea of one God. V'nimtzu kolam ha'aretz ha'noshim v'aktanim enim yodim. The only thing they knew were all these figures, all these psalim, call them idols and the like, all these temples, and even those that were intelligent, the so-called priests among them, they thought the only gods that existed were all these heavenly bodies. And the Rambam says, towards the end of Halacha Beis, V'al derech zeh ha'yaholem holeich u'misgalgel. Wow, what a language. So here our Soloveitchik began to analyze the language of the Rambam. The Rambam says, ha'yaholem holeich u'misgalgel. What does it mean, holeich u'misgalgel? What a word. I don't know if you know, in modern Hebrew, the word galgal is used to describe a tire. A tire that obviously has a circular kind of motion when the car is moving, when the car is operating. And the Rambam says that the world was moving on this course, achinolad amuda shalolam hu Avim Avinu, till the pillar of the world, Avim Avinu, till he was born. So, Rav Soloveitchik suggested the language should have been al derech zehoya holam noheg. Noheg means the world was moving in a certain direction. But he said the Rambam used the word misgalgel because misgalgel means aimless motion, motion without any direction. Like an object rolling down a hill that is maneuvered by the force of gravity. Misgalgel basically means that a man becomes an object. If God forbid a person is going down a precipice, you obviously no longer have anything to say about it. You are simply moving, and you're moving sometimes precipitously. When a person is pushed and rolls down the hill, he's no longer a person. He's almost an object. He's a chepti, not a gabra, because it's a blind, mechanical kind of push. So misgalga means unsupervised, non-directed, purposeless motion, and obviously drifting toward disaster. That's what the Torah is describing. That's what the Rambam is describing over here. So, obviously, we do not assume by any means in our Hashkafa that man has to surrender to fate because he has no choice. We're very into Bechira Chavshus. We're into free will, which is against the Greek perspective. The Greeks had a perspective that man basically is a misgalgel. And we believe in man's intellect. We believe in man's freedom. We believe that we have the ability to make decisions. But again, the Rambam says that prior to the birth of Avraham Avinu, man was like an object. He was surrendering misgalgel. He lost his freedom. He lost his faith in himself. If you remember that last week on Tuesday night, I also said over from Rav Soloveitchik, I described the contrast between two expressions in Aleinu. One is called B'nai Basar and one is called Rishi Aretz. Let me just review that. By way of introducing this Rambam, B'nai Basar are children of the flesh, Rishi Aretz are wicked people of the earth. And we mentioned that we say this in Aleinu, that even the B'nai Basar are going to call on Hashem, and the Rishi Aretz will also turn to him. And both groups are very critical, because both groups are those that precede the birth of Avraham Avinu. And we mentioned that the first B'nai Basar refers to the Dor HaMabul. They were basically corrupt. They were mushkas, they were degenerate. And the second group, Rishei Aretz, refers to the Dor of the Migdal Babel. And Nimrod is a symbol of that. So our perspective on life is that we hate, number one, paganism, which is essentially often very sexual in nature. It's beauty that's unredeemed, that's carnal. And that's what the Torah describes actually in Perek Vav of Bereishis. We spoke about this last week. It's a pagan way of life. You're just grabbing women left and right, whether she's an Eishes Ish, a married woman, or not a married woman. You just take whoever you wish. This notion of free man, hedonism, there are no restrictions, no hagbalot, and that could lead to disaster. Those are the B'nai Basar we mentioned. We are essentially succumbing to our flesh, to all types of taivis and biological pressures. And that's one approach, which is the Dor HaMabul, vulgar beauty, surrendering to enjoyment, to sexual pleasure, which is coarse in and of itself. So essentially, the world was misgalgel, this part of the misgalgel that was taking place. But as Soloveitchik explained, there's another way of life that is essentially dedicated to a certain idea, a certain doctrine, a certain philosophy, a certain political system. So even though the first, the Dor HaMabul, are really hedonic, pleasure-seeking type of man, but here the second wants to convert mankind into a kind of army to introduce uniformity, whether it's communism, whether it's socialism, whatever ism we're talking about, but it doesn't believe that each individual has their own approach. The Nazi machine, everyone had to be slaves to these power-hungry men who want to possess us, who want to own us, who feel they are the Aryan race. They're the aristocrats of the world. Everyone else is second-class citizen. All this is part of Mizgalgel. So now the Rambam says, who emerged? Amudo Shalaylam, the pillar of the world, Avraham Avinu. And also Avraham Avinu is symbolic of balance, of support. So now the Rambam goes on and begins to describe the fact that Avraham Avinu was chosen by Hashem's Baruch, as I mentioned at the outset. And obviously Hashem prefers individuals to the multitude. What Hashem does is he selects an individual and provides him with all the talent necessary, because each one of us is a microcosm. Each one of us is a miniature world. All of us have talents, all of us capacities, and we have tremendous ability to be creating, to be fashioning, to be artists, and we can spiritually mold ourselves and others. And we are all shulchan, we're all agents, we're all a kind of emissary. And we can become a shukra pakamish bocha b'may sebereshis. We become a partner with Hashem in the story of creation. So one of the elements, which Rav Soloveitchik often spoke about, this is actually found in his classic essay, The Lonely Man of Faith, that I mentioned. That's where he describes Adam 1 and Adam 2. That was a shiur that we spoke about 2 weeks ago. Adam 1, of course, is the one engaged in kibush, in conquest. And then Adam number 2, of course, is much more human. And we mentioned a number of nafkaminas between Adam 1 and Adam 2, Adam A and Adam B. And as far as the relationship between man and woman, Zohar and the Kev and Perek Aleph, and Ish Reisha and Perek Beis, the Shem Elokim and Perek Aleph, the Shem of Yuti Abavki and Perek Beis, and other distinctions. But one of the elements, which is very significant, that Rav Soloveitchik speaks about there in The Lonely Man of Faith, which is relevant to the Rambam as well, is that the Rambam here also tells us, and we'll read part of the language hopefully, Avraham Avinu was a lonely individual. Chazal described him, Rashi quotes it, "Hu me'eir echad, v'kolam kulo me'eir hasheni." He was a lonely individual, embarked on a very lonely kind of mission. He's on one side of the world, everyone else is on the other side of the world. And this is a very lonely kind of experience when you don't have other people with you. But b'chalzo, each individual has to come to his or her own conclusions. And even if one is lonely, but still, if one is cognizant of the truth, of the rectitude of one's position, one goes on one's merry way. And that's what exactly Avraham Avinu did. So now I'm reading Halacha Gimel. Kevan shenigmal eson zeh. The moment he was weaned, Eson, I mentioned last night from a pasuk in Tehillim, a Gemara in Bava Basra, Eson ha'ezrachi. The word Eson means strong, means a rock. He was like a rock of Gibraltar. So the Rambam is describing now how Avraham Avinu came to a recognition of Hashem. Hischil lishotek bedato. We're assuming that Avraham Avinu was a shepherd, the way most of the avos were. There were shepherds. There's a famous Aben Abachaya a number of times in Chumash with Cain and Hevel, and also with reference in Shmos, where Moshe Rabbeinu Hoya Roeh Eson Yisro Chosno Kohen Midyan. Why is a shepherd considered to be such an ideal kind of profession in the days of Chazal? And the answer is because two reasons. One is that a shepherd takes his flock far away from anyone else's grazing area and is not involved in Gezel. It's very makbid to be completely yashristic, yashar, straight, blot, no thievery, no skullduggery. But secondly, a shepherd usually is someone who has a lot of time on his own, together with his flock, obviously, for his beidudus. So it wasn't Rav Nachman Breslov who created the idea of his beidudus. It's found way before Rav Nachman Breslov, in Chumash itself. Namely, Cain and Hevel and the Avos were already misbeidim. They have a chance to connect to Hashem Yisbarach, have a chance to become the Vim. They're away from society. So Avraham Avinu, says the Rambam, Hischil Shotik Bedato, he began to, as a young lad, he couldn't sleep, he was restless. He couldn't understand the existence of the cosmos, the grandeur of the cosmic drama, and particularly he counted the stars. And the Rambam goes on to say, Behu Katan, he was a very young child. We'll see in a moment how old he was. There are two opinions of Chazal. either he was 3 years old or he was 40 years old. Ben Shal Shonim Hikir Abam is Boro, or Ben Arboim Shonim Hikir Abam is Boro. And the Ram goes ahead. V'hischil lachsho bayom balayla. He began to think all day and all night. V'hoya tomeya. The Rambam says, Avraham Avinu was essentially asking, wondering, how is it possible that this sphere, notice the word galgal, which refers to spheres that are circular in nature, and that perhaps is connected to the previous word I mentioned in the end of the previous halacha, misgalgal. How is it possible that all the heavenly spheres, knowing tamid, how is it possible that somehow they are revolving, below yellow manid, and there's no control, no one is directing traffic? Umi yisaveh also, who's making it revolve? Ki yeshah she yisaveh v'satzmo, the world cannot cause itself to revolve. V'lo hayalom melamed, he didn't have a rebbe. V'lo modia davar, no one to inform him. Ela mushka b'ur kazdim, he was mired in ur kazdim. Bein odeh kochav matipshin, among these foolish idolaters. Notice the language of the Rambam. The Rambam was a shikol briska, had no difficulty using strong language. They're a bunch of fools, blundering fools. Tipshin. His father, his mother, we know all the midrashim with Terach and the interaction between Terach and Avraham Avinu when he was still an idolater before he did tshuva. So everyone is wallowing in idolatry. He's part of it. He worships with them. He's also an idolater. Avraham Avinu. The libo mishotek. This is the second time the Rambam used this language. Mishotek. What does mishotek mean? We'll discuss it in a moment. But the simple translation, he's exploring. He is looking. He is seeking. He is searching. Umevin achehisig derech ha'emes. And after a period of time, he finally gained understanding. He apprehended the way of truth. The haven kabat tzedek, he understood the path of righteousness, mitzvunasu anachona, from his accurate analysis. V'yoda, and he realized, sheyesham elokai echad, there's one God, v'humani kagalgal, and this God is the one who controls all the spheres. V'hu bara hakol, he's the one who's created everything. V'chein ein b'chol animtza elokai chutz yimeno, there's no other God among all the other entities. V'yoda, and he knew shekol olam tovim, the entire world was operating under the Negrishus era. V'dobah shegarim lahem v'tohuzeh, what caused them to err? Sh'ovnim esakochovim yasaturos, they're worshipping the stars and all these heavenly images. Acheh ovad ha'emes midaitam, till they became totally unaware of the truth. U'ben arboim shana hikir avam esbaro, he was 40 years old when he came to a recognition of his creator. The rabbit here, on the left side is Masig, and he quotes a Chazal, Ekev Asher Shom Avram Mikoli, that he was 3 years old. So Avram Avinu has no Rebbe, no teacher. So who told him? How did he come about to find the greatest of all truths, the existence of Hashem Yisbarach? So, of course, the answer is that Hashem Yisbarach is constantly communicating with us. Whenever we have sudden flashes of mind, we have these intuitive, creative kind of breaks. It's a message from Hashem Yisbarach to us. Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal often noted there are two kinds of nevuah. There's external nevuah, when the Navi has a vision, or he hears a voice coming from outside. So there, the Navi is told, as far as the identity of the person who is speaking to him, but there's another kind of revelation, another kind of gilui, which is anonymous. That revelation essentially is in silence. And that occurred within the great personality of Avraham Avinu. Hashem spoke from within. And that's why the Rambam says that Avraham Avinu was not instructed by anyone. He was an eitan. He was mighty. He was a rock. He's a gifted and talented child who was able to find the truth all by himself, which of course is absolutely wondrous, because an eitan, a rock of Gibraltar, has strength that is absolutely elemental. It's like a Eison Moshe Becha, Pasuk in Bamidbar, I think in Perek Chavdalit. Eison Moshe Becha v'sim basela kinecha. Your abode is like a bulwark. It means the strength of the Avos was invincible, was unconquerable. Avram Avinu discovered Hashem all by himself. No one guided him. No one taught him. His knowledge was nurtured by this intuition that he had, a tremendous intuition. And as I said, there's a machlokes here, the Rambam, the Raivin, machlokes in Chazal, how old he was, whether he was 3, whether he was 40. So it seems like that there's a contradiction. Also, Rashi said, no, there's no steer whatsoever. He started at 3, and the maskana he came to was at the age of 40. It was a long process, a lengthy process of many years, starting at the age of 3 and culminating at the age of 40. And that's what the Mishnah writes. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Ben Arboim Labina. When a person is 40 years old, you attain understanding. It means when a person is born, you come into contact with reality and you're questing for Hashem. And even an infant actually can also undergo this kind of mysterious drive, but it took him 40 years. Bina, as you understand, means a person who has Havana. Mevin Dava Mitov Dava. So Avraham Avinu had to devote 40 years to this incredible enterprise of seeking out Hashem. And the Rambam apparently held that this questing for Hashem is a spontaneous kind of process. It's because the entire world is pulled by Hashem, attracted to him. There is an Aristotelian notion, which you're probably familiar with, or maybe you're familiar with, which is circular motion. And the Rambam actually accepted this Aristotle, this notion of Aristotle, but it's completely wrong from a scientific standpoint. Even though the Rambam accepted it, that's what he writes here when he speaks about this Galgal, this circular kind of motion. The universe is in physical motion because, according to the Rambam, this motion represents a quest to seek out Hashem Yisbarach. Aristotle speaks about different types of motion, which are reducible to two. One is a locomotion, and one is a kind of morphological motion, but I'm not getting into that right now. But the Rambam's point is that there's a yearning, there's a tshuka that one has for Hashem Yisbarach. And Avraham Avinu already experienced it, this pull, at a very young age, the age of 3 years old. Now, to say that Avraham Avinu found Hashem or recognized Hashem at the age of 3, then one would say, well, it's a simple matter. It's easy as pie. That's not correct. To find Hashem Yisbarach is a lifetime of work. It's a complicated, painstaking job. It requires incredible toil, incredible dedication. Pasuk says in Dvarim, beginning of Sefer Dvarim, when it talks about Klal Yisrael going into Golos, you will seek out Hashem, and you know why? You'll be able to find him. Only you seek him out with your entire heart, with your entire soul. A person with a brilliant and fully developed mind, a person who has a rich imagination, a sensitive neshama. So obviously, that does not happen overnight. And the Rambam clearly is describing here this dynamic. When a child is still nursing from his mother's milk, he doesn't see himself as a separate being. The Gemara even says that ubar yerach imo, certainly in utero, an embryo is connected to the mother, but even a young child is connected to the mother. It's a Gemara in Sukkah, the very beginning regarding who's chayiv in the mitzvah of Sukkah. As long as the child still is dependent on its mother, it's not chayiv in Sukkah. The child is dependent upon his mother. And then at the moment of weaning, that's what the Rambam says, kevin shenigma leisan zeh. Once he was weaned, at that point, that's the first stage of the growth of a child. He becomes somewhat independent, somewhat autonomous. He recognizes himself as a separate entity. And as long as Avraham Avinu was nursed by his mother, his urge for this inquisitive kind of search was really dormant, was latent. But now, the Rambam says he began at the age of 3, l'shotate b'daito. And the word l'shotate, it's a fascinating verb. The Rambam is very careful about his language. Almost the entire language of the Rambam is founded upon Chazal or Tanakh. Everything in the Rambam really is completely and totally grounded upon Makoros. The word l'shotate means to roam around without a particular destination in mind. You know the Pesuk at the beginning of Iyov. So Iyov, we have HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yes, a sudden, the son decides to test Eov, and Hashem asks the son where he came from, and he says, Mishut Baretz. He was going to and fro. He was walking up and down. He's someone who is Mishotei, has no objective, no place where he wants to arrive. And there's no doubt that the Rambam had probably this phrase in mind, and perhaps also a phrase from the Nabi and Amos, because in Amos also, in Parakhes of Amos, the Nabi there describes how people are going to be Yeshotetu, to wandering around to seek the Dvar Hashem. Soloveitchik mentioned that there was a famous French writer, Romain Rolland, and he spoke about Beethoven. Beethoven, the great musical composer, how he was when he was young. He used to love to hear melodies. He always thought and always said there was some orchestra hidden under the table, behind the curtain, in the attic, in the oven. He somehow, Beethoven always heard beautiful melodies playing, and he thought it was somewhere outside of himself. The orchestra was indeed an orchestra, but where was the orchestra? Inside Beethoven himself. And the more sensitive a child is, and the richer his imagination, the bolder the person is, and they'll find or attempt to find a new reality. And those, the child's restlessness represents a spontaneous drive to discover Hashem is Barach. And the distinction between a child and an adult is that a grown-up also has a sense of frustration when he doesn't succeed and has a feeling of futility. But a child doesn't feel that frustrated. A child is always ready to try again. And often children act that way. They possess greatness, but often their childish cravings never translated into action, into experience of intellectual enlightenment. The greatness of Avraham Avinu consists in the fact that he never was discouraged. That is to say, he began by being mishotig b'daito. He was agitated. He was restless. He began to think incessantly, day and night, is there a creator? Is there a God? And he had a compulsive kind of nature. And that restlessness showed up at a very early age. But undoubtedly, as a young child, he acted anyway a gifted young child would have behaved. But Soloveitchik noted there are four distinctions between Avram searching and the searching that other children engage in. Number one, Avram was persistent, almost compulsive. I guess you would say today, OCD. He decided on pursuing this, and from age 3 to age 40, he sought the truth for 37 years. He can easily have dropped the whole business, and we also, Klal Yisrael, is very persistent. We often act compulsively without rationalizing our commitments. I would imagine that the best example of our salvation, always use this example, our commitment to Eretz Yisrael. It's going on for 2,000 years, which is unbelievable. And you want to call it Emunah, you want to call it a promise of Hashem Yisbarach made to Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, but that persistence, that tenacity is critical, and it comes from Avraham Avinu. Secondly, there's continuity. Usually children don't have any sense of continuity. They experience something one day, they forget about it tomorrow. One moment they're sad, next moment they're happy. One moment, 1 hour, they are jumping up and down. The next hour, they're gloom and doom. But Avraham Avinu, even as a child, was able to somehow link up all his experiences together, and he retained them, and he developed the whole philosophy. Thirdly, Avraham Avinu was not searching for a fantasy world. He's looking for reality. He had a rich imagination, and we know Jews in general, we on Rosh Hashanah, we daven that the entire world should recognize the Malchus of Hashem. But finally, Avraham Avinu searched not only for theory, but for a practical way of life. He rejected paganism, not only because he resented erroneous thinking or things that were not true, but he wanted to substitute an ethical life for an immoral one. And that's why the Torah hates Avodah Zarah. It represents an ugly life. It's a cruel life. It's a vulgar life. And Avraham Avinu fought paganism, as the Pasuk says, actually. The Rambam writes actually here as well. I want to read you a bit further in the Rambam. We haven't read much yet. But the Rambam says, till he understood, behaving kavat sedek mitzvonos anachona. He understood the way of truth. It means yashrus, righteousness, justice, and of course, monotheism. So Avraham Avinu had no transcendental help. Hashem wanted Avraham that he should discover him in a natural way. Avraham was very talented. He clearly had a profound mind. And that's exactly what happened. And we can imagine the unbelievable excitement that Avraham Avinu had the moment that he discovered that behind the millions of stars, behind all the flying nebula, behind the fringes of this, what seems to be an orderly, dynamic kind of universe, there's an omniscient, omnipotent, eternal, and infinite being who created it all and sustains everything. Imagine that Avraham Avinu came to this maskana, and the moment he did, the Medrash writes, Avraham Avinu actually even heard from Hashem Yisbarach, he said, welcome, good morning, Boker Tov, Aniu Baal Abira. The moment he came to that maskana, then Hashem appeared to him. And that's why Yom Hashem al Avraham lech lecha me'atzah. But don't forget that it took 40 years. Many, many years of careful thinking and study. So let's read a bit further in the Rambam now. The Yoda she'esham eloka echad. Avraham Avinu came to the idea there's one God. He's the only God. One God, Yichud Hashem. And now the Rambam goes on, and this I heard now, this next piece I'm going to share with you is from my Rebbe, HaGoyin Hatzidok Kenatapsky Zatzal, who is the Talmud Muvig of Rav Soloveitchik. He was Medayik in the Rambam. There are three stages that the Rambam now describes that requires a long arichos, but I'm just going to do it briefly in the few minutes that are left. What caused them to err? Sheovdim esakochavim esatzuros ad sheovad ha'emes vidaita. Uben Avraham shon hikir Avraham esbaru. Now the Ram begins to describe three stages. Kevin shehikir v'yada. The moment he came to this recognition, hischil hashiv chuvas abnei rukazdim velaruch dini moem. The Rambam said that Avraham Avinu was a young man fired up with the conclusion that he came to, and decided he's going to impose it on the entire world. So he began to literally issue pronouncements against paganism, and he began to wage war with them. You're operating essentially incorrectly. Ram alludes to that medrash between Avraham Avinu and his father Terach, who owned an idol factory. He began to destroy all the idols. That's stage number one. The Hishchil Odi Alam, he began to inform others, Shein Roy La'avod Elo Le'oka Olam, one should only worship Hashem, below Roy Lishtachav Osu L'hakim L'nasech, Kidei She'akiru Kol Abruim Aboyim. He was completely and totally convinced of this position. V'roy La'avod L'shabri Kol Atziros, one should destroy everything else, Kidei She'lo Yitavayim Kol Am, K'mo Elo Shein Medamim Shein Shem Eloka La'elo. He wanted to disabuse those who had paganistic and idolatrous kind of inclinations. They're wrong, completely wrong. So the Rambam says, Kevin Shigav Ra'aleim Ra'yosav. Intellectually, he was so overpowering. So usually what happens when you have a person like that, before you know it, he's no longer around. He finds himself 6 feet underground. Bikesh HaMelech La'orgo. Who's the Rambam alluding to over here? Which king wanted to kill Avraham Avinu? Nimrod. V'nasol Ones V'yotzol L'charon. A miracle occurred, and he was able to be saved. What miracles are Avraham alluding to? The miracle of Ur Kasdim, Avraham Avinu, that's the story with Haran, Rashi quotes in the Chumash. That's stage number one. And now stage number two. V'hischil lamo v'likro v'kol gado l'chol olam v'holdiyam sh'yesh shama l'ka echa l'chol olam v'lo roi labo. Second stage, Avraham decided that Avraham Avinu clearly understood that the first approach, the pugilistic approach, he was an iconoclast par excellence. He just broke idols and completely, essentially, intellectually overpowered people. That was, of course, an approach that people couldn't handle. People don't like someone who is essentially telling them that their lives are worthless. And they decided to eliminate him. And now he begins a second stage. And now this stage, of course, he's preaching and teaching, trying to disseminate the doctrine of Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad, a different tactic, a different methodology. And then the Ram goes on, he's gathering people, and now the third stage in Eretz Yisrael begins. The Ram doesn't quote the entire Pasuk, But this pasuk tells us, "Vayita Eishel Be'er Shava." Chazal, the Gemara in Saita, Rashi quotes it. Eishel refers to Achilah Shliya Leviya. Now, what's the best way to be Makari of other people? And the answer is through Chesed par excellence. He wined them, he dined them. I mentioned this last night. He would invite people, Achnasa Sorchim, and then obviously speak to them, dialogue with them, try to convince them of the existence of Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad. And as a result, this kind of Chesed, the third approach, was the most successful. He came and showed you all Miskatsime love. People gathered around him. And they asked him, this is, by the way, embedded in this Rambam, is Chanoch the Naral Pidarko. Each person needs their own approach. Each person needs their own chinos. Some individuals need a more intellectual approach. Others need a more emotional approach. Others need a more musadik approach. Every individual requires their own approach, their own methodology. It's a very important yisod. Chanoch lenar al pi darko. And the Rambam says he did so. He approached each person with the sensitivity that was necessary for that individual. Till he succeeded in bringing them back to the idea of Hashem Echad. Thousands and tens of thousands succeeded. Avraham Avinu became an Admor. And many thousands of people were now gathered around him. He implanted in them this idea of Hashem Echad. And the Rambam says, V'chiber b'svarim. He wrote Svarim, Vodil Yitzhak Beno, and then this was transmitted, this Masara was transmitted from Avram to Yitzhak and from Yitzhak to Yaakov. And this is how the Rambam presents the background from Avram Avinu. In other words, essentially, even though he was ridiculed by his contemporaries, and obviously they could not grasp what he was doing because they were all pagans, either from the Dor HaMabul, the Dor HaFloga, and they ridiculed his irrational loyalty to Hashem Yisbarach, and it turned into hostility, and they began to persecute him. But his amunah was so strong because it came about as a result of 40 years of careful thinking. He served Hashem. He was able to teach and to proclaim a new morality. So all three tactics that Avraham Avinu used that we just described at the end of this year, the first tactic was a pugilistic tactic, iconoclast par excellence. Very strong-minded, strong-willed. That was not ultimately successful. And then he began to teach. The Ramban and Chumash speaks about all the mizbechos, all the altars built by Avraham Avinu that served as a kind of platform for him to go ahead and promote the idea of Hashem Echad. I was once in England, and there's a spot in London called Hyde's Corner. And the people get up there and start talking. So I got up there and started talking as well. And I started talking about that England is really a second-class country, third-class country. There's still a colony of America. Then I saw people approaching me, and they looked very, very concerned. I should not use that word. They were quite upset, irritated. They became very irascible. Then I decided it's time to leave. But I saw it was an opportunity, like a mizbech, that the Rabban describes, to speak about whatever I had in my head. That's what people did over there. I noticed that. So I got a kick out of it. So I decided to stand up there as well. Don't worry, they wouldn't recognize me as a Jew necessarily because I had a hat, a cap on, and I looked like one of these English guys. Although I didn't have the accent, they clearly recognized that I'm not an Englishman. But anyway, that was the second approach from Avraham Avinu. And the third approach was the most successful, chesed. And that's what we have to do. Invite people for Shabbosim, be makari them, wine and dine them, do favors to them, care about them, show them how much we love them, how much we're connected with them. And if we follow that chesed, the Gemara calls in Ksuvis, the Brisa Chesed that was introduced by Avraham Avinu. But all this came about through this unbelievable description that the Rambam has of Avraham Avinu. And he was chosen by Hashem, as I said at the very outset, Ato Hashem Elokim Asher Bachati B'Avraham. So we are really nanosim al gabi hanak. We are like dwarfs on the shoulders of a giant. The giant being Avraham Avinu. We're little dwarfs. But Baruch Hashem, we had Avraham Avinu to show us the way. He's the Malo par excellence. And now we simply have to maintain that Masorah and continue to promulgate and continue to disseminate the idea of Hashem Echad, Ushmo Echad, and primarily do it through the Midos of Avraham Avinu, primarily through the Midas HaChesed, And that's what I mentioned even last night. I said that we have to be mekabel all these midos, and Hashem is zocher chazdei avos. Hashem remembers the chesed of the avos, and that's chus. Umevi goel of nevneim leman shemo biyavo. Halavai, as I said last evening, and again, halavai. We should be zocher as a result of all the chesed that we do with each other and with the world at large, that Hashem will bring about a geula of Mashiach, but benotayim, in the meanwhile, a geula from this pandemic, and will be zocher to Yeshua Hashem, halavai, kerefai.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Yeshiva.
Thank you,
Yeshiva.
Thank you. Thank you for your kindness of even listening to me. Baruch Hashem.
Every week I'm blown away.
Okay, I've been blown away, but I ended up where? Quarantined in my house. The wind blew me right into my house. I can't seem to get out. I hope to get out and see you soon, Rafi. Halavai, soon. Halavai. Okay, have a good night. Be well.
Thank you, Roshiva.
Okay, very well.
Roshiva, the Rabbeinu Bachai is in a Geshmaka Sefer called Shai Lavi.
That's right. I see you are using the Sefer. Thank you very much. Hashem should bless you. Yes. But this was a slightly different discussion, although part of it was there. Correct. And I actually have not really looked at the Sefer recently, so maybe I should get back to it. Okay, thank you very much. It's good. But you're enjoying it, and you're also getting through the Hebrew.
It's hard Hebrew, but...
But you can do it. You can do it. Tanel, you can do it. You can do it very well. Baruch Hashem. Excellent. Thank you very much. Shekach, continue that slach and brach and everything. Ezer Hashem. Beautiful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye. Have a good night.